Hello and welcome to The Road to Autonomy. The Road to Autonomy is brought to you in part by Stantec Generation AV. Stantec Generation AV combines some of the most experienced AV experts in the industry with the resources of a global engineering firm. Stantec Generation AV provides education, consulting, assessment, and guidance to any industry interested in autonomous vehicles. Learn more at Stantec.com. Hello and welcome to The Road to Autonomy. I'm your host, Grayson Brulte. On today's episode, we're absolutely honored to have Bibhrajit Halder, founder and CEO of Safe AI. Bibhrajit, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me today.
I'm excited to have you here because mining is a growing market for autonomy. Mining is a growing market for dividends. Mining will play a critical role as society shifts to electric vehicles. And you saw this back in 2017. In 2017, it was a time of hype, overpromises, PowerPoint presentations, my kids will never drive, and a land full of hype around robo-taxis. Why at that time, when all the hype and all the capital was going into robo-taxis, did you make the strategic decision to focus on the heavy equipment industry?
Thank you. And I think, like, given your background, you know this area very well. So, you know, just to maybe a little bit of background where I come from, I have been doing autonomy almost for 20 years now. You know, I kind of got started when I was in a grad school with the DARPA Grand Challenge, got exposed to that. Then actually right out of my college, after my finishing my PhD, I started at Caterpillar on their autonomous mining project. So really it is more of a, I have seen it firsthand, developed the first version of solution, seen it working in the field. So we know what worked, what didn't work. So as much as sounds like it's a very strategic, smart decision on our end, it was really a continuation. Our team, I have done that almost 10, 15 years. We have delivered the first solution to the market. We knew 10 years ago autonomy was not as mature as today. Can we give it back? So it was really a continuation rather than a strategic decision, if you will.
I love the line, knew what worked, what didn't work. Diving into that, let's unpack that. Is that you saw the opportunity for off-road applications, or what did you see that made you make that profound statement?
That's right. And we'll get into a little bit of technical, and I know you and your audience are super technical on autonomy already, but really think about when we were doing autonomy almost 10 plus years ago, nothing about today's autonomy was available. Let me just give you a few examples. There was no GPU, right? Back in the days when we were doing 2007, 2008, 2009, there was no GPU. And you can imagine without GPU, that means you don't have this amazing compute platform on board. You don't have, obviously, the vision processing mechanism that you have today. We also didn't have AI the way we have used today, the DNN, the deep neural network. Literally, the paper came out 2006 in Toronto, and it took by 2013 where DNN really got matured. So by that time, so we went without the heavy compute platform. We went without the latest and the greatest AI. And the third biggest component was also that we didn't have all those mapping and everything. So that means we used only GNSS solution, which is GPS, if you will. So all that kind of hold our hand tight, what can we do? So we deliver the solution in production based on what we had. Think about fast forward today, what passenger vehicle has done. They really brought all those things to market. And that really, think about untie our hand. It was like, oh, now we can go ahead and solve that problem. We couldn't do it 10 years ago.
That's a valid point. The technology is evolving. Markets are evolving. We're seeing a lot of reports and analysts are saying the robo-taxi market possibly could not live up to the numbers that were projected, and that's going to cause some financial issues for those companies. But then on the other side, as I mentioned earlier, you have Rio Tinto paying over a 7% dividend. You have the global mining industry, which is a $2 trillion market that continues to grow, thanks in part to the growth of electric vehicles and the continued use of coal worldwide. And I did say coal because I want to put this into context, doing some research here. Coal accounted for 27% of the world's primary energy in 2021. It's roughly the same level as 50 years ago. And according to Bloomberg New Energy Research, by 2025, plug-in electric vehicles will account for 23% of all new passenger sales globally. So you have the coal market was never collapsing. You have the growth of electric vehicles, which take specialty chemicals such as lithium and cobalt and nickel. With all this data being stated, you're really in a market that's just going to continue to grow. How are you going to position Safe AI for the growth of that market?
Yeah, and before even answer to that, I really love the detailed research you have done. And I think this is what we need for this industry. Put a little bit of attention and focus. So what you have doing, really, really appreciate. And I think the whole industry will benefit for that. So I just want to point that out. Amazing research you have done on that. So what you pointed out, absolutely, right? And, you know, as you realize this, and this industry is also not the most safest industry. This industry also want to run more efficiently. So for them to giving an autonomy solution is not only just a question of it will continue to grow, but also you're giving them a tool that they can run more safely, more productively, which is going to benefit the whole world. And really, that's the two key points. And just to touch upon your electric thing, if you think about the boom of this renewable, like electric, where is the batteries component is coming from? There is massive boom will come. And there is one company, they're doing a great job in the US. They're still a startup. So there is a huge boom you will see in the, you know, the, all the battery component, all the metal that you need. So yeah, mining is an amazingly great growth position right now. And this tool will help them significantly.
You bring up the safety aspects of mine. We recently had the anniversary of the tragic situation in Pennsylvania with the coal miners, the eight, they got out and luckily they survived. It is a very dangerous industry. By adding autonomy into mining, you're going to increase safety. When you go and meet with your customers and you talk about the safety benefits of autonomy, does that resonate with your customers, the mining operators and owners?
They have been resonating for the last 15 years. And it is not just resonating. I mean, going back to outside my safety, my past experience, every mining CEO not only resonate, they have seen the results. Even with what we call Autonomy 1.0 that is running in production, they already see, think about this way, not only you taking the human out of this, you know, dangerous inside the vehicle, but you also just taking them out of that unsafe environment. Think about the dust, think about the particles they're getting exposed to. It's not just there is a thinking about accident, but just being in that environment. So we are taking the human out of the unsafe area, then we're putting them into more inside the office. They are doing the planning, they are doing the organization orchestrating, and that is a huge benefit. So yes, mining industry see that, they have a data to back up, they have seen the benefit for the last 7-8 years.
You've publicly stated the mining industry is entering autonomy 2.0 era. How do you define this era? Is it from what you described earlier, from a technical perspective, the advancements of the technology, or how do you define the autonomy 2.0 era for the mining industry?
That's right. And let me broadly explain. There's technology always have two legs to it. One is that how mature it is getting, but also the cost of getting the technology. So simplify 2.0, what does that mean? This mining, and I'll kind of broaden that thing, is also in the construction industry. They always wanted autonomy, but they could not quite access that autonomy 1.0, not only because of the maturity of technology, but also the cost of technology. You know, the example I give, think about Tesla. Tesla's first car was Roadster. This was a $180,000, $190,000 car. You could probably afford, but a lot of people couldn't afford, even if they wanted to. So now they brought it down. Now it has got much better. You know, today's Tesla is a lot more mature than Roadster that we had. And also it is less cheaper than before. This is exactly what's happening with 2.0. When I say mining is entering autonomy 2.0, that means they're getting a lot more mature technology that can handle a lot, you know, better use cases at a price point that everybody can pay. So this is also why we are entering construction. Previously, not everybody can pay the high price because it was just too expensive.
Funny thing on the Tesla Roadster, one of the original purchasers, and he had a hard time fitting into it, was Arnold Schwarzenegger. I had to put that in there. When you look at the price point of autonomy in autonomous vehicles, and let's hone in on Western Australia here for a moment, because a lot of the mining companies operate in Western Australia. They operate their own airlines where I believe it's 30 days on, 30 days off, 60 days on, 60 days off, where they'll fly the individuals and they'll live in a mining camp. And the retention is very, very hard in those camps. It's a very hard lifestyle, very, very hard on the body, very hard on the families. So you have the labor issue, the price of autonomy is coming down. Was it the perfect storm that just accelerated the adoption there in Western Australia? And I want to put this into more research context because there's roughly over 1,000, I repeat, 1,000 autonomous heavy equipment trucks actively operating in Australia.
Absolutely. And let me add a little color, more color to your statistics. the 1,000th autonomous truck is running for last 7-8 years, and they have moved about 4 to 5 billion tons of material, you know, over 24/7 operation without a single fatal accident. That is an amazing feat by the industry. They successfully completed that job. Not only they have running 1,000 vehicles, but they actually moved 4 to 5 billion tons of material over the last 7 to 8 years. And really, we are building on top of it, if you will.
Wow. 4 to 5 billion tons of material moved with no fatal accident. That's impressive. And then let's go into the economics of that. Over that 7-8 year period, that's going to lower the insurance cost as well, because now there's a proven track record and a data set for the insurance companies to insure against that. It's a win for the company.
Absolutely. So you have the safety, which you talked about, that there's a huge safety. But second thing is the productivity. You talked about what is the perfect, you know, windstorm, right? And what you say, the first part is that cost of running those vehicles 24/7 is very high. So, you know, that means you can pay for the autonomy. But when you think about autonomy 1.0, one of their bigger problems was not that how much I have to pay for that autonomy, but what do I need to do to my site to even to get the autonomy? So let's think about, I need to set up the network because I need the connectivity. 10 years ago, for me to set up a network in a mine, it would have cost me $10 million, and I'm rounding the number, around $10 million just to set up the network. So it is not that I cannot pay the, you know, autonomy cost. A lot of company could have probably paid, but they cannot pay the $10 million upfront cost just to set up the network, just to get autonomy. So think about, like, you know, if I give you back to Tesla example and not to, you know, any special, like, think about 10 years ago or 5 years ago, you said, oh, if I have to buy a Tesla, I have to buy also buy a $100,000 vehicle just to charge my Tesla. They're like, you know, not only I cannot pay for the Tesla, but I cannot pay for this infrastructure that I need to have. That cost of infrastructure, autonomy 2.0 almost eliminated, not just reduced. So what was $10 million before, now the cost with autonomy 2.0 for your network will be a couple of $100,000. So think about $10 million to a couple of $100,000. Instantly, people say, yep, I can afford that. That is the affordability. It's not even the cost of autonomy. So that opened up the market to everybody. But the third component, which is extremely more important than other two, is that productivity. And I'll give you a context of a project. Let's say you're running a project that takes 5 years to complete. Now you're going to complete that in a 4 years, about 20% productivity improvement. That means you're going to get the job done faster. And that has an even more financial and overall effect on the industry. It'll fundamentally change the industry, if you think about it. So those are the three perfect storms: the cost of running the vehicle, the safety, and the productivity improvement.
How are the infrastructure costs minimized in autonomy 2.0? Is it the advancement in the autonomy stack, or what caused that infrastructure cost to basically evaporate?
Yeah, so I'll give you one example. There are, I mean, 7 or 8 of those. So think about the network that I used. Previous autonomy 1.0, I need to have a strong network connection back to my some sort of a fleet management system. Think about, there's a fleet management system running. I need to have a direct communication all the time. If I have to have a direct communication all the time, that means my quality of network has to be very high. To maintain that quality of network in the middle of nowhere where there is a normal, not normal cell, I have to set up a private, you know, private network. Cost of that is too high. But now what happened, autonomy 2.0 doesn't demand that constant connection back to some sort of a fleet management system or some sort of a cloud solution. Now that I don't have the requirement, all of a sudden, I lowered my requirement, what I need from network. And you know, the cost of network is all about what is my reliability I'm asking for it. So I reduced that reliability as significantly so that my cost of network went down from 10 million to 100K. That kind of went down, right? It becomes prohibitively high to now I can afford it.
Without, you don't have to have the constant connectivity. Does that open a business opportunity to go deeper and farther underground in the mines with autonomy?
It's bigger than business opportunities. It makes a lot of people, and again, that's why we are going into construction, a lot of people who thought they cannot afford autonomy, they all can afford autonomy now. So really, if you look at our company's mission or vision, is that we are accelerating the use of autonomy to the heavy industry. So this really opens up the market to everybody else. Yes, it's a great business opportunity for us, but it is beyond Safe AI's thing. It is that more and more industry, more and more use case can afford this solution.
then that's where you have the adoption. I want to highlight the adoption in Western Australia. Safe AI, you have a partnership with Macca where you're going to retrofit a fleet of 100 mixed heavy duty vehicles for autonomy. Can you talk about that partnership, please?
Absolutely. And just going to highlight that, and Macca has been one of the great partners we've been are working in Australia. So they have running a gold mine. It is in public now where we are retrofitting that fuel truck to make it fully autonomous and ramp up in production. But we are going to make about 100 truck autonomous over next 2 years with Macca. And that's really going to be a major win for the industry. This is the first time a contract miner ramping up hundreds of truck autonomy in a short time with autonomy 2.0.
It's game changing.
It is. And I think when you talk to the customer, I mean, they are just waiting for it because they know what the implication for that to their business. They know the implication for their end user. So yeah, this is really, we are very excited about the, you know, the future that it can bring.
When you look at the future, so you're going to bring online with your partner Macca an additional 100 heavy duty autonomous vehicles in Western Australia. And we had said earlier, there's over 1,000. So now we're going to go way over 1,000. As you look into the future and you start to plan the strategy for Safe AI and doing research and looking at market conditions, do you still see Australia as a rapidly growing market for heavy duty autonomous vehicles?
Absolutely. Like mining in Australia just goes bread and butter. So obviously mining is a big part of that industry. A big portion of the GDP rely on that. So yes, we are really the tip of the iceberg. When you think about 1,000 truck, 100 truck, there is 100,000 vehicle out there just in mining alone. And these are the vehicle that is there today. You know, we have another, you know, new vehicle coming every year. So yeah, we are just literally scratching the surface. And Australia is a huge, huge, you know, expansion area. You will see a lot of autonomy vehicle going to come up in Australia.
Looking at other global markets around the world, you have the Atacama Desert in Chile, which has very large lithium deposits, a lot of mines there. You have some deposits in Argentina, and then you have the tar sands in Canada, which is very, very popular. Do you see autonomy pretty much extending to all practical mine sites around the world?
I love the amount of detailed research you have done. And believe me, you are like the only one I'm talking who knows. Everybody's like, why are you talking about mining? Can you go back to the road, the driving in the road? So no, I really, really appreciate the amount of research you have done. But yes, no, I think it's not just Australia. I mean, even Autonomy 1.0 is already running in Canada and Latin America. You already mentioned some country, right? Brazil, Chile, they already been running. So those are natural progress for us. You will probably see us sometime in a very future, but we'll be there as well. So yes, Canada, Latin America is definitely, even some of the Asian countries going to start adapting fairly soon.
Thank you for highlighting the research. I personally take a lot of pride in being well prepared. So thank you for highlighting that. You made my day. I'll tell you that point blank. When I look at the mining industry of where the mining industry is today from an autonomy perspective, I look at the mining industry, where it is from an economic perspective. These are the global miners. I look at their balance sheets. I started comparing and contrasting. It reminds me of the agriculture industry with John Deere, where John Deere had a very well-established business. They're selling tons of tractors. They're selling heavy-duty equipment. And then a couple of years ago, John Deere made probably, and Lee Reardon, who was the co-founder and recently retired CTO of Blue River Technology, started the See and Spray for John Deere, probably one of the greatest acquisitions in the history of John Deere. And then John Deere went from the autonomy perspective and bought Bear Flag Robotics. And now John Deere's become a complete powerhouse in autonomy for agriculture. Kind of parallel to that, do you see a large miner or a Komatsu or a Hitachi heavy duty industry equipment making a similar M&A play where they're going to bring either your technology or competitor technology in-house and rapidly scale it?
Yeah, so I mean, if you look at the in general, any industry, this kind of fundamental technology field, there will be consolidation, no doubt about it. Right? There will be consolidation, and that consolidation will happen naturally as different players come up and they show their strength and weaknesses. Okay, I'm good at it. You will see the natural consolidation. That's also happening in the passenger side, right? We started off with a lot of passenger, you know. Now we are getting to a consolidated state. I think consolidation will happen. One of the things that we are laser focused on is that what is our customer want? So we are looking at the lens from our customer, and our customer is the people who run the mine, who run a, you know, multi-billion dollar construction project over 5-10 years of span, right? They want a partner who are completely agnostic of the vehicle. They want a partner who are completely open and interoperable. What does that mean is that you come, you deploy your autonomy, you deploy your kind of data and access all stay with us. If I want somebody else's autonomy and your autonomy at the same time, I should be able to pick. So we are really looking at from our customer angle, like they want somebody who will serve them, be there with them for 10 plus 10, 20 years, because they run that kind of project. So I think consolidation happened, but really we are laser focused on our customer. What are they looking for? What is good for them as they take their business to the next level?
If you're not focused on your customer, you don't have a business at the end of the day, because they're not going to trust you and they're not going to buy your product.
Absolutely.
You've mentioned the construction industry several times. Some individuals that they live in a large metropolitan city, they'll think of, oh, they're building a skyscraper. Or if they live in a certain area, perhaps they're building a home. What is your play for Safe AI in the global construction industry?
Yeah. So, and I'm not a construction expert, but let me set the stage up for construction. There are two types of construction happening in the world. One, what you just mentioned, skyscrapers and homes, that are the building construction. But then there is the infrastructure construction. So I'm building the road, I'm building the bridge, I'm building the dam, I'm building the tunnel. And 60% of the world construction is actually in the in infrastructure construction. And obviously the one we see, because we live in the, you know, but we also drive in the road. We just don't see that. And if you think about the who are the biggest customer of the infrastructure construction, this is actually all of our government, right? That's where their money goes. Who is building the road? Who is building the airport? So if the reason I'm splitting that up, if you look at, we are actually focusing on the infrastructure construction. The reason is that infrastructure construction look and feel like mining. What I mean by that, think about you're building a dam. What does it mean building a dam? Usually takes 4 to 5 to 6 years of process. You have a truck that, you know, hauling the material like a dirt and putting it down. A dozer comes in, push it up. A roller comes in, roll it down. And that probably happened 3 years straight. So you're doing very repetitive work. Truck is hauling material. That looks like a mining. So we are going after infrastructure construction. And on one of the projects, we are working on a, you know, dam building project. So that area is very ready for autonomy.
Let's say if there's an area being cleared for a bridge that's going to cross a river or a large bridge, is that an example of the construction that you might target because it's so large scale and it's repetitive?
That's right. I mean, I'm not going to give you a name, but think about there is one of the big airport in one of the in Asian country. They're about to renovate that airport. That airport renovation project will take 7 years to do. So this is the kind of, you know, breadth and depth of the project we are going after. And 7 years, hundreds of vehicles running, doing the same thing repetitively. It's a constrained environment. You can think about it's just a perfect dream place for autonomy.
How did you uncover the large infrastructure construction niche?
Yeah, so I mean, I think this is again the same to your first question. I will not take the credit for uncovering. We live and breathe that, right? Our whole team has been doing it last 15, 20 years. Like if you look at our team members, they have been doing mining and construction for 15, 20 years. So we actually have not uncovered anything. This was the back of our hand. We always knew. Like we exactly knew which construction project pay for what, why they get more money, why they use certain vehicle. We know this for last 10, 15 years because we means as our whole team. So we are not smart about figuring this thing out. Now, we are not the MBAs of the world, if you will. We are not smart that way. We grew up in that environment. We knew exactly which construction is running for how many, how much dollar they are spending. So it was very natural to us.
That's what you want. I was talking to a reporter in a major media outlet yesterday, and we were talking about the Project Titan. And he said, I'll throw a theory out at you. And I said, what's that? He goes, perhaps Apple's hiring all these auto engineers to truly understand the car. They're actually not going to build a car. They just want to understand it. And it's very similar to what you said. You're growing up in that industry. You understand this. It gives you a strategic competitive advantage because you understand the industry, you have the relationships, and you have a very good insight to where the industry is going before potentially one of your competitors.
That is true. And I think it's a more, you know, the way we look at it, we are also, our team member also part of this customer company before, right? Before joining us. So not only we understand their industry, we also understand their pain point. Some of our team members have lived through that. It was almost their pain point, right? We have gone through that. We understand our customer pain point firsthand. We're like, let's go solve it together. So one of the things to highlight, we really collaborative work with our customer. Whether it's Maca, you know, Obayashi's in our construction, we talked about in publicly. really working hand in hand, and we understand what they want to go, what is their pain point, and we are jointly solving that.
That's okay. Let's hone in on the Shabi Corporation in Japan. You successfully retrofitted a Caterpillar 725 used for a construction site. Are you working hand in hand with the Shabi Corporation to scale that?
Absolutely. And I think I was there in Tokyo I went twice in last 2 months. So we have a huge demonstration in front of all sorts of players in Japan, like whether it is a government entity, research entity, OEM, other construction company. So we have showed that demonstration. Really, this is the first step of our way to expand autonomous construction in Japan. And we are hand in hand working with Obayashi on that.
So we talked about Japan, we talked about Australia, we mentioned Chile, Argentina, and Peru. What other large markets do you see as opportunities for the construction side of your business and mining from a global perspective?
Obviously, US. We haven't talked about US because we have a customer, we have a big project that we announced, but we have a lot of traction, a lot of discussion happening right here in US as well. Obviously, we are running in Bay Area, but we have a lot of large customer in US. We have been in active discussion. So you will see a lot of activity even in US, because obviously there's a lot of construction, a lot of activity happen here as well. Outside US, I think, Europe is one of the area we're looking at it as well. And there are discussion happening there. So we will see there. And after that, we'll probably go into Asia as well. Asia means besides Japan, other countries in Asia.
When you look at the United States, for example, you have the mines that at some point will be coming live in Nevada for lithium. You have the Salton Sea, which Berkshire Hathaway is actively working on trying to get the lithium out of there. So you have the emerging, let's call it pockets of growth in the United States. You mentioned Asia. You can look at there with all the refining of the specialty chemicals. So that creates an opportunity there. Right now, Australia is in the lead in terms of heavy-duty autonomous vehicle deployments. We've publicly stated over 1,000, soon to be over 1,100. Do you see the front runner geographically changing where the United States might be operating more autonomous heavy-duty trucks than Western Australia, or will Japan come online, or will Chile surpass it? Any thoughts on the geographic race for who will have the largest deployment in the future?
Yeah, and I think we are still talking in thousands, right? So maybe, give us a couple of years, we will see. But each of those geography has a tremendous potential. They have, we know how many vehicles they each of geography run. So they are all pretty mega number from our point of view. So yes, I think they can all, grow significantly. But I think give us another couple of years, we can have much more better who will be ahead, if you will. But they are all pretty major area for us.
All right, so I'll make you a deal. At that point, I'd love to have you back on and we could talk about the global growth of heavy-duty autonomous vehicle markets. How's that sound?
I will come talk to you any day. And I don't get to talk to you people like you on a daily basis who understand mining. So I'll come anyway. Yes, that's definitely sound like a plan.
Awesome. Fantastic. So we talked about mining. We talked about construction going towards the heavy infrastructure. From a technical standpoint, how do they complement each other? Do you have to develop different stacks or what does that look like?
Yeah, and I think that is, so just to give you, let me do a bottom up, right? So the software, the technology that we have developed and implemented for the mining industry for MACA, that is 180-ton truck, the same software, same technology we have put into CAT 725 construction at the same time. So we parallelly develop both. So that is also our technology philosophy, that same solution will go, otherwise you cannot scale. So we have architected the way, the modular architecture that we have, we know from going forward that this is the way to do. So it is very scalable, whether it is 200-ton truck running in mine, 25-ton truck running in construction, but it's not just a truck. We are also doing the next vehicle right now, which is not a truck, next type of vehicle. There also, we are utilizing a lot of technology that went into truck, same technology going into the next set of vehicle as well. When I say vehicle, it is different type of vehicle. So it's a very modular, very scalable. And so we have architected that way, but let me kind of put a little bit of color that. Yes, we have done a good job, but it's not nothing to do with safe AI also. This is how Autonomy 2.0 is. Autonomy 2.0's architecture is, this is another difference. I don't go into detail because they're much more detailed, technical. They are lend itself to this modular, scalable architecture that in Autonomy 1.0, we are kind of, tied up. We couldn't do that.
growing up, I had Tonka trucks. Things were the coolest thing in the world. And I'd put my G.I. Joes in the Tonka trucks and move them all around the house. And I've always wondered what it would be like to go for a ride in one of those big, giant, multi-ton Caterpillar trucks. Now I want to know, what was it like to go for a ride in one that was operating autonomously?
Your first thing, I'll give you open invitation. We have been running in U.S., in Bay Area, we are running a truck, we are running another vehicle, we are running in Australia, we are in Japan. You pick your location, where you want to go, in Perth, Tokyo, or Bay Area, we'll give you a ride in the vehicle. So that's the first part. I think second thing is that it is amazing. I mean, I remember when I just graduated, I started working for CAT, and I think within a month or 2 months, I get to sit in this CAT 793F, which is 220-ton truck. Literally, the tire, you know, diameter of tire is twice my height. Coming out of, you know, PhD school, it is blow your mind. And when you sit in the truck, it's running in autonomously with your software in it. I think that is literally the best position you can be as an engineer.
All right, I'll take you up on that. We'll coordinate offline and you'll make my dream come true. I can go for a ride. All right. When you look at your technology, Safe AI's autonomous solution, what separates you from your competitors? Is the fact that your system is modular and it's scalable? What really separates you when you're meeting with a customer?
So when you're talking about competitor, there are two ways to look at it. One that is doing what we are doing, and then also obviously there is Apples and Googles of the world. So they, you know, the way we look at them is differently. So our competitor who are doing what we're doing is really this autonomy 2.0. There are, you know, nobody quite bring that autonomy 2.0 in heavy industry yet. So that's a fundamental difference. Another thing is that we are actively at a site right now. So that means we're collecting the data. We are training our AI module with the real data. So there is no shortcut. If you need to develop a AI model for mining, you have to collect data in the mining. Even, you know, Waymo's AI model will not into our world, right? They still have to come and collect our data. So that gives us a strategically competitive advantage because as we deploy more and more, we keep collecting more and more data. And we are not just collecting data from the autonomous vehicle. We are also collecting data from other vehicle that is running manually because we are putting sensor in that to collect data. So that gives us a huge technical advantage. Third piece is that, you know, when you think about autonomy, it's not just running the vehicle point A to point B. You are integrating into their overall ecosystem, how they mine, how they do construction. It is actually a dance. It's a coordination, right? Truck, dozer, loader, light vehicle, you know, water truck. Everybody kind of have a coordination and dance together. You need to understand the dance for every different mine, every different construction. And as you understand, you make your solution more perfect to that dance, you again have an advantage. So I think this is that's where we have a clear differentiation with anybody who is working in our field. With the, you know, Apples and Googles of the world, really, we don't look at it as a competitor. We look at them as our supporter. Because they are spending $80+ billion to develop the coolest and the best technology. We are literally taking that because our industry cannot spend $80 billion to develop all the technology. So I think what they're doing, I have a very good connection with them. I come from that industry as well. So I think they're doing amazing work and we're just taking the technology back into our world and making sure it fits into our need.
Well, your need is the need that's going to have a positive impact on society because your customers, the global miners, and the global traders will be able to get the lithium and the cobalt and the nickel that they need to get to the manufacturers to build the electric vehicle. So you're serving a very big need there. As you stated earlier in this podcast, when the autonomous heavy-duty trucks can run 24/7. And staying on the topic of electrification, as you're developing your technology, you're retrofitting heavy equipment for autonomy, are there differences if you're going to retrofit a large heavy-duty vehicle that's running an internal combustion engine versus a large heavy-duty vehicle that's running an electric motor?
And I think the electric vehicle is a big part even in the heavy industry. Obviously, they are looking at an end-to-end net zero vision, not just running the vehicle, but processing to all the way to their whole ecosystem. But we recently did announce a partnership with Siemens where Siemens is going to retrofit a vehicle to make it electric. We are putting autonomy on top. So we do have a game plan where we know the need. If you look at the heavy industry, there is a two main vision, no entry site. That means remove human from the unsafe area to a safe area. Another is net zero vision. So our contribution to the net zero vision is partnering with Siemens, where they are retrofitting it to make it electrified. will come in on top. And we already announced a project that we are doing with Siemens, Obayashi, and SafeAI. We're really taking the first step towards that.
Well done on taking the first step to a net zero vision. It's going to be a fascinating world when a mine can run at net zero. That's going to be a fascinating future. It's going to be a great future for all of us. Putting this conversation together, how do you see the autonomous solutions market growing for heavy equipment industry? Do you see this as a complete growth market? Do you see more startups coming into this? Do you see some more established companies like your Siemens, your Honeywells, your Komatsu's moving into this industry? Or how do you see it growing and evolving?
It's a massive growth market. I mean, just to give you some number around it, there is about 1.5 million different type of vehicle in the mining and construction together, right? And that is today, right? Every year, there is a number is going to grow. So 1.5 million vehicle, there are probably about 40 to 50 different type of use cases. There are probably about 10 to 15 different type of vehicle doing different type of job. So the number of vehicle, the application and the need is unlimited, if you will. It is bounded, but unlimited in that sense. So yeah, it's a massive, massive growth opportunity. Again, you compare, there is 1,000 truck running today and there is a 1.5 million vehicle that we can go after. And there is no end in a short future, right? So yeah, we do see there is a massive growth opportunity. We do expect a lot of people to work on it. And I think which is good for the industry. As I mentioned, there are so many use cases, so many vehicle. There is no way one company, one entity can master it all.
If you look at those numbers, roughly 1,000 running today with a market of 1.5 million, you're less than 0.1% of one. And that creates a growth market. And as more mines come online, as I mentioned, in Nevada and the Salton Sea, and then there'll be in China mines will come along. You'll have some more in APAC and South America. That number will grow. And you could basically have an unlimited growth trajectory. So thank you for shining light on that. Hey, Bhupajit, as we look to wrap up this super insightful conversation where you shedded some really great insights into the global mining and construction industries, what would you like our listeners to take away with them today?
Yeah, and I think where you started off, right, one of the things you're doing really put some attention and light on this industry, that the benefit this industry is going to get from autonomy and electrification. So that is, I think you're already doing an amazing job. So thank you for that. Really bringing the awareness, right? I think another concept we don't quite talk about is that I had a presentation at UC Berkeley in the construction class. Really, as you making this industry more technology heavy, bringing them to the next generation of technology, you are going to attract the next generation of people to want to work in this industry. I think that is a huge shifting. Like, you know, again, going back to this, my experience in UC Berkeley, I heard about it. We realized that is one of the problems. People don't want to work in this industry. I think, how do you attract the next generation? Because you need to innovate this industry as well. Because our, you know, your house, my house, our road, all depend on it. So I think that is another great thing is happening as you are bringing the technology, moving this industry to the technology-enabled industry, you're attracting the next generation of people to be wanting to work on this. So I think that's another great point. And third point, more, we are continuously hiring. So anybody wants to join us, please reach out and, you know, take out our, I think we have about 50 plus open position. We'd love to have the, you know, talented, excited people joining us.
As Bhupajit said, SafeAI is hiring. If you want to build the future of autonomy that will have a global impact, that has an unlimited growth potential, join SafeAI, because the mining and construction industries are cool. They're only growing. They play a vital role. Even in a downturn, if we go into recession, mining and construction will still continue to rock and roll, because the future is bright, the future is autonomous, and the future is autonomy for mining and construction. Bhupajit, thank you so much for coming on the Road to Autonomy today.
Thank you. Really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you for listening to the Road to Autonomy podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Want to get in touch? Follow us on Twitter at Road to Autonomy or email podcast@brulteco.com. The Road to Autonomy is produced by Brulte & Company. The views and opinions expressed on the Road to Autonomy podcast do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Brulte & Company. The content discussed on this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be taken as legal, tax, investment, or business advice.